relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
What is live radio? What kind of a thing is it? Is it a science? Is it an art form? Is it something else? I have no idea, because I've just been doing it for such a short time. Chad, is there a mystical quality to radio, or is it more mathematical?
I think that there's an ether to it, you know?
Oh.
Like, it's just kind of incomprehensible, incorporeal, but it's also regimented, right? It's like gas, but it's inside of a box.
So it can change its state. What do they call those things that go straight from solid to gas? There's a scientific term for that.
I'm a history major, Dr. G.
All right. I stumped you there. But I need to know, is there a scientific... Because this is the thing I always find myself. There's something we did yesterday, and I want to return to it today. What is the rule on that? When can you and can't you do that? Or is it just kind of a fingertip spitz and gefühl kind of thing?
As long as you think it's important to talk about. Right?
Oh,
what do people need to know?
Well, I do.
What do people need to know, Dr. G?
Okay, they need to know what Kamala Harris is really like. And I think one half a segment on this yesterday just isn't enough. So I'm going to play it again, or I'm going to ask Eric, the man behind me, to play this cut, which tells you who she is, Blake Arts.
Is agreeing to voter ID one of those compromises that you'd support?
I don't think that we should underestimate what that could mean. Because in some people's mind, that means, well, you're going to have to Xerox or photocopy your ID to send it in to prove you are who you are. Well, there are a whole lot of people, especially people who live in rural communities, who don't. There's no Kinko's. There's no Office Max near them. People have to understand that when we're talking about voter ID laws, be clear about who you have in mind and what would be required of them to prove who they are. Of course, people have to prove who they are, but not in a way that makes it almost impossible for them to prove who they are.
Like getting a photocopier, because that's impossible. I mean, that's like going to Mars. Right? I mean, totally. Okay, the word is sublimation. I forgot it, but it's sublimation. Solid to gaseous form. Sorry, guys. Okay, so I need to unpack that because I kind of missed maybe a thing, an aspect of that yesterday. Guys, help me out here. Who is she talking about when she's talking about rural communities that don't know how to photocopy? Is that poor people? Is it poor white people? Is it ethnic minorities? Let's start with Eric. Who can we even enter that vacuous cranium and work out who is Kamala actually talking about?
If I had to take a wild guess, just because you know she can't help herself. She would love to bash Trump voters any chance she gets. I think she is talking about, like, the white, rural, working
class. But it doesn't make sense because it's a voter ID issue, and that's supposed to be about suppressing minorities, isn't it?
The only other thing I can think of is that maybe she's putting that out there as a way to try to alienate Trump's base from himself to say, like, oh, look, Trump...
No. There's no double, triple bluff with this woman. I'm sorry. She hasn't got two brain cells to rub together. I don't buy that. Mr. G, who do you think she's talking about?
I have no idea, because she's trying to fight something and have a problem with it. that up until November of last year was the law.
And more people, can I just, for the record, in addition to the KKK being a Democrat organization and Abraham Lincoln being the first Republican president ever, I need people to understand more people voted last year in America than in the history of our republic. So who's suppressing who exactly? Shad, can we even answer the question, who is she talking about?
The mind of our vice president is an enigma. You know,
it's wrapped
an
esoteric, in a mystery.
Yeah, it's an esoteric thing that's impossible to truly nail down. What I'm thinking is like a Schrodinger's voter, right? It just depends on who you really, it like just depends. You know, you ask her this time, you ask her that time, she'll give you a different answer. It depends on who
she's
talking
question.
To.
Here's the question. Does she know?
An enigma
wrapped in a mystery. Okay, stop it. Okay, let's get serious. It's related, okay, because it's kind of, you know, privacy issues and IDs. This is from the Daily Wire, Tim Pierce. The Democratic National Committee and other allies of Joe Biden are pushing social media companies and cell phone SMS carriers, that's a short message system, the text system, text carriers to censor vaccine disinformation spread on their platforms. So not just social media, on your phone, if you're sending a text to somebody about vaccines, they want the phone company to censor you. The White House said yesterday. What day is it today? What day is it?
The 13th.
Day of the week.
Tuesday.
Okay, that's today. The White House said Tuesday that it intended to adopt a, quote, door-to-door vaccination awareness strategy, an announcement that raised alarm amongst many that the federal government was tapping into private medical records, because you'd have to, and sending federal agents to the homes of the unvaccinated. The White House has since clarified the operation, saying that it targets communities where vaccination rates are low and uses local, quote, trusted messengers, not federal agents. Psaki has denied having access to private medical records. Then how do you know where to go? How do you know where to go if you're not accessing information that is federally protected under the HIPAA medical records laws? So here's the question to the team, our vast team, our huge, huge legion of workers here, employees. Is this going to be the big deal that I think it's going to be? The idea of going house to house, knocking on doors, to get people vaccinated and then getting cell phone companies to censor your texts? Let's go in the reverse order. Let's start with Shad.
Well, first I want to shout out Tim Pierce, who wrote the article, Hillsdale College grad, great
reporter. Fly the flag.
Gotta fly the flag. Look, what we're seeing is the construction of like a total state apparatus of control right here. Because at this point, when you're talking about text messages, right, this is just basic communication between two people. Nobody is sitting there thinking, when I'm using my text message, this is something that's going to appear in front of a government office, right? Which, you know, if you're thinking that, then you should probably wake up a little bit, because that's probably true. But at the same time...
But what stops them doing it with a letter?
Yeah. No,
if I do an anti-vax letter, can they open my letters?
Well, considering that the post office is technically a, you know, crime-fighting organization, they have cops
with guns
in the post office with guns, that's not out of the question. Right. And if you're viewing somebody as unvaccinated, as somebody who's a threat to multiple lives, you know, this is a life and death situation, right, as Dr. Fauci said earlier on the show today, then anything is permissible.
So is this going to be a big thing for patriots?
I would 100% say so, especially if they can just go to your door, ask you if you want to be vaccinated. If you say no, that means they have you on file.
Jeff, is this a big deal?
I think this is good news. For us.
For us, right.
No, I'm serious.
Unpack that.
I just think if you get into it, they talk about really what they're trying to do is these online petitions and things like for the right that are being sent around in these private messaging groups. It's another action that they're doing. Everything they can do to try and stop our side, it's because they can't win. That's why they're doing all this, the social media censorship, the corporations not donating to Republicans, all the stuff that we've seen, throwing fits, flying out of the state over voting laws. They're nervous about what's going to happen in 2022.
That's good. I like that. Eric, big deal or not big deal?
I wish I could say this was a big deal, but you know what? I feel that the American population as a whole is just so subdued that these kinds of things don't surprise them anymore. I would have thought the big thing would be literally a whole year of businesses being shut down, of schools being shut down, our rights being taken away for a year. I thought that would have woken people up, but apparently it didn't. So I really hope I'm wrong, and I hope Jeff's assessment is right, but for the time being, I think this is just going to be one more step they're going to take that will... Some on the right will report on it, but by and large, it's going to be under the radar.
I'm going to allow for a response, Mr. G, to Eric, your response. He says, that's it. After last year, forget about it.
What's sorry. I was
No. I know you're working hard back there. Eric, as usual, trusted source of negative energy, said it's not a big deal because after people saying yes to closing down businesses, this just doesn't matter.
I think people did have a problem with that. I mean, I'm not exactly sure 2020 was exactly what you would think if you looked at the numbers. And 2022 is going to be big, I think.
2022 is going to be big. You know how you can find out just how big it is? In 44 minutes, we will be extending this show on Rumble exclusively with an hour-long uninterrupted discussion I had on these issues and so much more. With none other than Steve Bannon. Yes! An extra hour only on video. Go to rumble.com/Seb Gorka. rumble.com/Seb Gorka. Relief Factor. If you're in daily pain and have sought relief elsewhere only to fail, you've got to try this 100% drug-free product that is providing liberation from pain to tens of thousands of Americans across the country, me included, but also Reggie from Florida. I have a lot of pain from aging, and after only 4 days of using Relief Factor, I'm already experiencing less pain and stiffness. Can't wait to see how I feel in a couple more weeks. Relief Factor. Is a blessing sent by God. Incredible words. Use only one way to find out for yourself. Order the 3-week quick starter pack by calling Relief Factor right now on 800-500-8384 or go to relieffactor.com. Their 3-week quick starter pack will be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 days, 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me and for thousands of your fellow Americans. Don't wait any longer. Relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com.
No violence, no hate speech, just happy warriors on America First.
Oh, the meme masters are at it again. I'm just scrolling through my tweets and that photograph of the Texas reps on their private jet. I'm looking at one. Somebody's put them all in prison jumpsuits. That's pretty good. I like that. But even better, you sneaky little meme masters, you. There's one. It's really good. I mean, it's better than Photoshop. The photograph of those Texas reps with all wearing masks that say Make America Great Again. That's better. Let's get serious about the issue because it is a serious issue with a good friend of America First, former Attorney General for the great Commonwealth of Virginia and former Deputy Secretary for the Department of Homeland Security under the Trump administration, none other than Ken Cuccinelli. Ken, welcome back to America First.
Hey, good to be with you again.
So we have to talk about a recent poll of Americans asked about their expectations on voter and election integrity and what you're doing jointly with two great organizations, the Susan B. Anthony List and the American Principles Project. But let's start with the news of the day. Your reaction to what these Texas reps are doing, they want to make it impossible for the state house to take a vote on election integrity. So what do they do? Somebody paid for it. They jumped on a private jet without their masks and ditched Texas to fly to Washington.
Field trip. Yeah, or judging by the beer, road trip. Yeah. Yes, it's, you know,
It's a stunt, and as Governor Abbott's made very clear, it'll be treated as a stunt. When they get back, they'll have work to do, and he can just keep calling 30-day special sessions. And what are they going to do, stay out of Texas forever? I mean, as I recall, 20 years ago when they did this during that decade, they do this once a decade for the Democrats in Texas. Rick Perry, then the governor, just kept calling special sessions until the work was done. So I think you can fully expect that this stunt will run its course. In about 2 or 3 days, they'll get bored of Washington, and Washington will get bored of them.
But you know, as somebody who's lived in the swamp, who fought the swamp creatures, just the fact that they don't just do that on a private jet with their keg of beer. They're taking selfies and grinning about it. Doesn't that just demonstrate utter disdain for their constituents, Ken?
Oh, I'm sure it rankles back home. I mean, frankly, the polling in Texas on their first walkout, because remember, folks, this is the second time they've done this.
Right.
Though this was far more premeditated. Only 27% of Texans supported their action the first time. I can only think that number is going to go down. It's hard to imagine it going up. So, you know, they're not scoring any points for themselves on this.
You mentioned the polling. Let's look at a recent poll which sees 78% of American voters favor stronger voter ID laws. So what are we talking about, Ken? Is this just theater for the masses?
Yeah, and the maskless, yes, on the private jets. it is theater. This is when they walked out the first time. They trooped up to Washington and tried to meet with Joe Manchin. He wasn't available, and various Democrat senators. So they sort of filibuster Texas and go urge the Democrats in Washington to get rid of their filibuster and, oddly enough, take over their elections. I think this is probably driving some of the conservative Democrats, and they still exist in Texas. There are none left in Virginia, but they still exist in Texas. And when you combine this with what this administration is doing at the border, or maybe more accurately, not doing, and those are those Democrat areas along the southern tier of Texas are most affected by that. You keep adding this stuff up, and you're going to start defeating some Democrats in what were thought to be relatively safe Democrat seats.
Right.
I think that's where this is headed.
All right, let's talk about what we can do about the next election. You are now the national chairman of the Election Transparency Initiative, along with the Susan B. Anthony List. Tell us what that organization is doing and how the task ahead, how we can actually do concrete things in the next few months.
Sure. So electiontransparency.org is where you find us on the web, electiontransparency.org. And people can follow me on Twitter at Ken Cuccinelli, no spaces. And I'm railing on this stuff a good chunk of some days. And what we're doing is two things. We're fighting at the federal level to stop the federal takeover of elections, including working to preserve the filibuster. And there, the over a million members of the Susan B. Anthony List and the American Principles Project are absolutely critical to our ability to reach out to these congressmen and senators effectively and quickly. And we have lots of experience doing it. So it's a great tag team. And then at the same time, out in the states, meaning the state legislatures, we have 10 targeted states. We do work in others, but 10 targeted states where we're working to support allied legislators who are looking to reform and clean up their elections in Florida, Texas, Arizona, Iowa, and Georgia are the all Republican states. And then the split control states are Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and North Carolina. And in the Hail Mary, in football analogy state, is Nevada, which is one of the sloppiest states in the country in terms of its elections in recent years. And both parties have had cause to complain about that at various times. So that's a lot to cover. And we work very closely, being very careful not to overstep the organizations within these states that are our allies We tend to take a supporting role, though an aggressive one, because we bring an awful lot of grassroots firepower to the game, if you will, in these states. And we've had success, as you've seen. So, Iowa, Georgia, Arizona, all these states have improved their elections.
Tell us what the bare minimum is, what the commonality that these states have to ensure for the next election.
Sure. So, first of all, people like you and me who care about this need to actually go be election officials. It's actually, in my view, it's more important than any laws on the books, because as we saw in the last election, you can have whatever laws on the books. You can have transparency and oversight of counting, but if the officials don't let you in, what does that law matter? So we need people who believe in election transparency and accountability to go become election officials in their state. And we're doing that in Virginia now, trying to urge people to do this. We have the biggest election in 2021. It's the governor's race in Virginia. I think the Republican Glenn Youngkin is likely to win it, but not if there are problems with the election. So we're swarming that election, and it does work to do this. While we didn't win the Georgia special election in the Senate, you did notice, if you watched closely, that the complaints about breaking the law and working outside of the election laws that existed dropped through the floor precipitously in that special election, because so many people swarmed it to provide oversight and
because
participation.
People were paying attention. Listen to this man. Follow him at Ken Cuccinelli and volunteer. That's the only way we're going to stop it. Find out more at electiontransparency.org. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Could watch that every single day, just the warm feeling it gives you inside when you see people call for liberty, freedom, representative, and also wave the American flag at the same time. How does it go from here? What is the evolution of that event, and what should America's response be? Let's talk to somebody who, well, he's better qualified than most to talk on this position, on this geostrategic challenge. Former coordinator for counterterrorism communications for the State Department. He is Ambassador Alberto Fernandez, currently Vice President of Memory, the amazing Middle East Media Research Institute. Ambassador, welcome back to America First.
Delighted to be on with you.
So, Alberto, you really are incredibly well-positioned to discuss this, not only because of your family heritage, but because of your background additionally in military intelligence and in the State Department and elsewhere. So talk to us about what the events in Cuba mean. Is this substantively different? Could this presage something more significant? Or is it, as Stalin says, who cares? We still have the tanks and the guns.
Well, certainly the regime is heavily armed, and the regime has tanks and guns and militias and death squads. People have been beaten to death on the streets of Havana over the last 24 hours. So the violence the regime has inflicted is something we're seeing. But you do have a sense of something breaking, that as people on the streets of Cuba are saying, the fear is breaking. And you've had demonstrations across the island in dozens of towns. And there have been, in Cuba's history, 62 years of dictatorship, there's been lots and lots of demonstrations, rallies, opposition, political prisoners. There was a six-year insurgency in the 1960s against the Castro regime, you know, peasants fighting in the fields, in the mountains against the regime. But certainly we haven't seen something like this as widespread as what we've been seeing over the last 2 days in a very, very long time.
Correct me if I'm wrong. You know better. You've been following this for decades. In those 62 years, have we ever seen what we have seen in the last 48 hours, which is elements of the police, if not actively take part with the protesters, but peaceably not intervene? For me, that is a significant indicator that the regime may be losing control. Am I reading too much into it?
I think it's maybe a little early. I know what you're talking about. There's a lot more images of security services cracking down on people and assaulting people and all of that. But I agree with you that is the key point where people who are connected to the regime pause and consider what they're doing and either don't take action or join the other side. I know that parents have actually called their children, their young men who are in the obligatory military service in Cuba, and have told them, whatever you do, don't repress the people. You know, whatever you do, don't participate, don't get blood on your hands. So that kind of discussion about what the heck is going on here is actually happening within Cuba, among Cuban families, among people with children, adult males in the security services and in the military.
Are you hearing things from those you know in Cuba that you haven't heard before as well?
I mean, for me, the shocking thing is just the sheer depth of it, the broad scale of it, the fact that it's the young, you know, it's people who are products of the regime, as they like to say, the new man, as the communists like to say. They're the ones that are saying freedom. They're the ones that are saying down with the dictatorship. They are the ones in the street. They are multi-ethnic, you know, people of color, all those buzzwords that people like to use. Those are the people who are saying down with communism.
Well, that's not supposed to happen. Homo Sovieticus or Homo Cubanicus shouldn't be revolting against the regime. So, in fact, something truly exciting could be happening. We will discuss further with Ambassador Alberto Fernandez of Memory. Follow him at Alberto Miguel F5. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, broadcasting to you from just outside the insalubrious, fetid swamp that is Washington, D.C., from the ReliefFactor.com studios.
You're listening to America First with Dr. G.
When you woke up this morning, were you raring to go? Did you want to grab life by the throat? Or did you wake up tired? I was ready to roll. Why? Because last night I rest my head on one of Mike Lindell's My Pillows, the pillow that never gets hot, never loses shape. 51 million sold, they're that good. My whole team uses them. President Trump loves them. Find out for yourself. Use my name and Mike Lindell will give you up to 6 com promo code G. His incredible line of products at MyPillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A. Call them on 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468, mypillow.com. But you've got to use the secret code, G-O-R-K-A. We are back with my good friend, Ambassador Alberto Fernandez, Vice President of Memory, the Middle East Media Research Institute, former coordinator for counterterrorism communications for the U.S. government. Ambassador, we haven't spoken since this new administration came into power. You are so well positioned to comment on the foreign policy and how it is communicated. Let's start with this little clip from the first Chinese-U.S. summit since Joe Biden was sworn in. Play cuts.
So for China, it was necessary that we make our position clear.
I'm going to say
So let me say here that in front of the Chinese side, the United States does not have the qualification to say that it wants to speak to China from a position of strength.
What does it mean in historic terms, Ambassador, that at the first summit of its kind, a couple of weeks into a new administration, with our biggest global competitor, the chief diplomat, the interlocutor, basically slaps our Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, with the Democrats' own talking points? What does that mean in terms of diplomacy and cause and effect?
Well, what it shows, I think, is a certain naivete on the behalf of our side, that they haven't thought through, basically, you say this, what is your adversary going to do? How are you going to respond? You game this out. You think it through. You realize that you're going to be tough with them and that they're going to respond a certain way, and you're ready for it. And I think based on my sources at State today, and I've spoken to several people, there was a certain naivete in the new team coming in, thinking that we're not Trump. Everybody's going to love us. Everything's going to be fine. You know, kind of a superficial look at the way the world works, that kind of transposed domestic issues or domestic politics on the international stage. That was a big miscalculation.
And the latest statement by Antony Blinken, the chief diplomat for the United States, where he said he hopes. I mean, it was strange. It was in this timorous tone where he said he sincerely hopes that the Cuban regime doesn't draw conclusions such that they want to blame America for what's happening. I mean, what?
They've been blaming America for 62 years. But look, I mean, we need to be, I think, have modest expectations. It could have been so much worse. There are people in Washington, political types, who want to reward the regime in Cuba for repressing its people. You would think you have repression, you're going to talk about more sanctions, you're going to talk about consequences. But no, there are people rushing to say we need to reward the same regime that is arresting people, locking them up, killing them in the streets of Havana. This is crazy.
When it comes to rewarding dictators and dictatorial regimes, your expectation, is it going to happen? Is the Biden-Harris regime going to reward the greatest state sponsor of terrorism by reenacting the JCPOA Iran deal?
Well, all the indications are that we're headed towards that direction, and that would be extraordinarily bad for our country, bad for the region. It would be a financial windfall for our enemies, not just in Tehran. Tehran and its militias and death squads in Lebanon and Syria and Iraq and elsewhere in the world. So I hope that that doesn't happen, but it doesn't look very good.
And when it comes to other threats and threat groups, in the last couple of minutes we have with you, Ambassador Fernandez, should we still be worried by groups like Al-Qaeda and ISIS that seem to have been out of the news for at least 4 years now?
Yes, we should, because basically all of the building blocks that led to the rise of Al-Qaeda first and then ISIS are in place. All of the political, socio-economic, intellectual, ideological trends, they exist. Yes, the physical caliphate was heavily damaged and people were killed, but right now they are stronger than they were before they began their rise. In other words, they've been weakened, but all of the building blocks are there for a resurgence when they have that space to do so, whether that space is in the Middle East or in Africa or online. They're ready to take advantage of it. They want to survive until they see there's an opportunity that they can flow into and take advantage of.
And what, in the last minute we have with you, is the most important thing to discuss about the global jihadi movement that we are not discussing, Ambassador?
Well, then it continues to be, it's an ideological construct. It's about a specific worldview It gives it's both, you know, extremely violent and intolerant and all of this, but also gives meaning to people, and that there is a search for meaning that exists among peoples in the world, in the Middle East and in other parts of the world. And, you know, nature abhors a vacuum, and yes, that's going to be filled by something. It's going to be filled by communism or by Antifa or by ISIS or whatever.
Plus man Alberto Fernandez, his amazing organization Memory, that's MEMRI.org. Thank you, Mr. Ambassador. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, if you're in daily pain, if you've tried everything else only to fail to find liberation from that pain, please try this incredible product from the amazing father and son team of Pete and Seth Talbot. I've been taking Relief Factor for more than 2 years now, and I am pain-free after 9 years, almost a decade of suffering lower back pain. But it's not just me. It's people like Reggie, you heard in the last segment, and Leah from Ohio. One Sunday morning, I sat on my couch in so much pain I was in tears. That's the day I ordered Relief Factor. Following directions, in 8 days, I found relief, only to get better and better. I'm a believer 100%. That's an amazing story. It should be your story. And there's only one way to find out. Call today. Relief Factor, 800-500-8384. Order their 3-week quick starter pack. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Reggie, Leah, and thousands of your fellow Americans. You've waited long enough. Do it today. ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com. Call them on 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
Truth. The whole truth. Nothing but the truth. That's Dr. G's specialty. America First.
Hey, Shad, did I just get something wrong while I was traveling in faraway lands? Or is it true that the mainstream media are saying CRT isn't real? It doesn't exist. Did that really happen?
It really did. And not only that, but multiple political candidates are also saying that.
Huh.
It was invented. It was invented by none other than Donald Trump?
Wow, that's just wacky. I don't think that's true. Let's listen to somebody who knows, because he's done the most of the heavy lifting. Our good buddy Chris Rufo, who has some interesting data. Cut 10.
The critical race theorists tell us that whiteness is inherently oppressive, racist, white supremacist, and this book is really outrageous. They depict whiteness as the devil, luring children into a sense of racial identity. This is totally inappropriate, and it's being taught to kids as young as 4 and 5 years old. And the latest numbers, Jesse, are in. I've now had whistleblowers tell me that it is being taught in 30 school districts in 15 states.
Hang on. Something that doesn't exist is being taught in schools in 30 districts? How does that work? I'm confused. Maybe the media is lying. That's why you need to listen to this show, America First. Subscribe to our video channel. It's free. It's the anti-YouTube. It's the people who believe in the First Amendment, in pushing back on the propaganda. Rumble.com/Seb Gorka. That's rumble.com. /SEBGORKA. And as we've previewed already today, we've got a super special treat for you next. We had an amazing one-on-one for almost an hour with my old boss, that nemesis of the left, none other than Steve Bannon. And if you stay on our Rumble channel right now, we're going to play for you unedited, no commercial breaks, our discussion on all of these things. CRT, the extremist transgender agenda, the future of Trump 2024. Can we reform the GOP? And what is it going to take to actually win back the Republic? Not just in 3 years' time, but next year. Should he run for a House seat should he become the Speaker and then run for the presidency. There's only one way to find out. Stay tuned here on Rumble, and we're going to transition straight to my interview with Steve Bannon. In the meantime, as ever, keep your head on a swivel, watch your six, hold the line, never give up, never give in. And now, as they're trying to provoke you across the nation, don't let them, and instead, stay frosty.